If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
Hey everyone, Amber Ruffin here, and I'm with
Jenny Hagel.
We have some exciting news. We're returning to South by Southwest in Austin, Texas.
We'll be doing a show called Late Night Trash Can, where we will perform some jokes and bits that we wrote for the show that never made it to air, and talking about why that happened.
It's going to be live on Saturday, March 9th at 3:30 p.m. You can check the South by Southwest website for more info.
If you're in Austin, come check it out.
And if you're not in Austin, too bad. Just kidding. The show will be released on the following Monday right here on the Late Night Podcast.
Either way, check it out. Bye.
Bye.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. Today is International Women's Day, and in honor of that, we chose to devote this podcast episode to comedy written and performed by Late Night's female writers from throughout the years. Now let's get to the show.
So here at Late Night, every night, I deliver a monologue comprised of jokes written by a diverse team of writers. As a result, a lot of jokes come across my desk that, due to my being a straight white male, would be difficult for me to deliver. But we don't think that should stop you from enjoying them, so we'd like to share them with you now in a segment called Joke Seth Can't Tell. These are two of our writers, Amber and Jenny.
I'm black.
And I'm gay.
And we're both women.
And I am not. So here's how this works. I'll read the setups for these jokes, and Amber and Jenny will read the punchlines. Here we go. Today was National Be Late for Something Day.
Yet another example of white people appropriating black culture.
A lesbian horror film recently premiered at the South by Southwest Festival.
It's called Home Depot is Closing in 5 Minutes.
Hey, Jenny, what's your favorite thing to get at Home Depot?
A phone number.
Okay. 50 years ago, Charles Schulz, the creator of the comic strip Peanuts, introduced his first black character, Franklin.
It was the least he could do after letting Pigpen walk around in blackface.
Oh, I'm glad I didn't try to tell that one.
I regret having done so.
A gallery in New York is currently showing an exhibit of photographs of lesbians from the 60s and 70s.
Or, as they were known back then, roommates.
Oh, yeah. And what are they known as now?
NCAA basketball coaches.
Oh, right. In response to Serena Williams' protest against an umpire during the U.S. Open, tennis star Martina Navratilova published an op-ed titled, What Serena Got Wrong?
It's like the old saying goes, behind every successful black person, there's a white person who needs to shut up.
Disney is facing backlash after it was announced that its first ever openly gay major character will be played by a straight actor.
But in their defense, it's really hard to find a gay actor.
Jenny, is it hard to find gay actors?
No! One-third of the actors at this desk are gay.
At least. Two dozen white supremacists held a rally recently outside the White House.
And when they were done, they went inside and got back to work.
Amber!
It's funny because the president's a white supremacist.
Oh, it is funny.
Ow, those laws.
Alaska Airlines apologized recently to a gay couple after asking one of them to move so a straight couple could sit together.
Even worse, they asked a lesbian couple, how do you do it?
Jenny, what's the question people ask lesbians the most?
Can you open this jar for me? And P.S., the answer is always yes.
Okay. According to Politico, white men are a minority among this year's Democratic midterm candidates.
So, from now on, if you want to see white men in the majority, you'll have to go to Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Stanford, a Cubs game, a research lab,
a TED conference, a NASCAR race, Wall Street, NASA, the Supreme Court,
a math department, a movie studio, an engineering firm,
or
a comedy writer's room. A lot of people go to Stanford.
I didn't get into Stanford, but I got waitlisted at Stanford.
A lot of people did. Hey, Seth, why don't you do it?
Oh, I couldn't.
Oh, come on, just run.
I feel like if I do, I'm going to get in trouble.
No way, dude.
Okay, then I'll do it with confidence.
Okay.
The Denver Center for the Performing Arts recently staged an all-black performance of Oklahoma, or as it's called, Oklahomie.
Seth! No!
What?
Seth, no!
Well, I'll do another one and win you back.
Okay.
The University of Oregon is currently organizing a lesbian oral history project.
Don't do it.
No, it's good.
Do not do this.
No, it's not going where you think it is. Because if there's one thing every lesbian has, it's an extensive oral history.
You did it. How dare you!
You told me it would be okay!
You should be ashamed of yourself!
You said Stanford!
I did it!
Black women and lesbians are liars! Despite an ongoing recount in Florida's Senate and gubernatorial races, Republicans are claiming they won and the recount should be stopped, which is exactly what happened in the 2000 election. So why does this keep happening in Florida? Here to talk about it is Broward County native and one of our writers, Ali Horde, everybody.
Thanks, Seth. So why is Florida always at the forefront of election controversies? Short answer, Florida is hell in a swamp. Which I'm allowed to say because I grew up there, specifically Fort Lauderdale, which was founded by a drunk possum at a wet t-shirt contest. Now, I know what you're thinking, but Allie, you're from Florida and you don't seem too bad. Wrong, I'm terrible. I had a belly button ring and lost my virginity on a trampoline.
Allie, I feel like we're getting away from the recount.
Oh, right, the recount, okay. The recounts happened because of negligence, corruption, and general stupidity in Broward County. For instance, a high percentage of Broward residents didn't vote for senator this year because, according to them, the ballots were too confusing. You know, like shaving or sleeves. It also didn't help that some poll workers just left boxes of ballots at the polling locations, like post offices, schools, and Hooters. Which, in some parts of Florida, are the schools. I actually graduated from Hooters High on Old Dixie Highway. We were the Fighting Owls. I'm kidding. Our mascot was a breast.
Allie, the recount.
Oh, right, okay. So how will Florida handle this recount? Not great. In 2000, the Supreme Court stopped it and gave Bush the win because Florida was taking too long. Of course it was. We are old and slow in Florida. The Florida State bird is a pelican in a wheelchair. And now, the same thing is happening again. Officials gave Florida a recount deadline of Thursday, which they definitely won't make. And even worse, the deadline for military absentee ballots is Friday. So they're just not going to count those ballots. If democracy wasn't a concept, Florida would roll it up and smoke it. And these recounts never bode well for Democrats because Republicans are very good at using bad faith arguments to claim certain ballots just don't count. Remember hanging chads? Gay clubs in Fort Lauderdale are still getting a lot of mileage out of that one. This year, however, the big excuse for throwing out ballots is something called signature mismatch, which I don't even get because most signatures in Florida are just spilled barbecue sauce. So if I can leave you with one thing, it's that Florida is a mess, the people are confused, and the system is corrupt. Don't hold your breath that Democrats will get any justice because the only justice in Broward County is Rick Justice, an exotic dancer at LeBaire's Mail Review on Oakland Park Boulevard. Get $5 off the cover charge with the code word trampoline.
We don't always have enough time to cover all of the recent news, so here with a recap is one of our writers, Amber Ruffin, in a segment we call Amber Says What?
You guys! Things have been crazy! Okay, first of all, I heard Jimmy Buffett sang the national anthem and dropped the mic. And I was like, what? Jimmy Buffett sang the national anthem where? At a game of beer pong? Jimmy Buffett dropped the mic. Why? Did he sing the national anthem well? Because I heard Margaritaville, and I'm a-guessing that's a no. Also, you're too old to drop a mic. Barack Obama barely got away with it. When Barack Obama drops a mic, it's cool. But when you start dropping things, your children come around to check on you. Then, I was watching Fox News where they accidentally announced that Ruth Bader Ginsburg died, even though she's still alive. And I was like, what? Just kidding. I wasn't watching Fox News. But I was watching True Detective. It was fun. But I heard about it, and I was like, what? You showed this on national television? Why? Were you hoping that she'd see it and go, oh, I'm dead. Okay. Then Beto O'Rourke was like, I might run for president. And everyone was like, what? Then Elizabeth Warren was like, I'm gonna run for president. And everyone was like, what? Then Kamala Harris was like, and I was like, and then she was like, and then I was like, and then she was like, I'm running for president. Oh, man. Everybody was like, what? Then I saw that Beyonce shopped at a Target, and I was like, what could they possibly have that you need? Is it mirrors? It was probably mirrors. Then some scuba divers off the coast of Hawaii were minding their own business when a giant great white shark showed up, and I was like, what? Then this fool touched it. Now, I'm not a shark expert, snorkeling expert, or swimmer. I don't like water animals or animals that live in the water. But I do know that sharks eat people, idiot, and you look delicious. So you may not want to be swimming up to sharks like they're your best friend. I did all that without mentioning the song Baby Shark, lest it get stuck in your head. Oops, I mentioned it. Guess it's stuck in your head now. Then, Gillette aired a commercial acknowledging toxic masculinity, saying, we have to stop saying boys will be boys. And I was like, yes, we do. What, 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 what? Then some people didn't like being told they shouldn't bully and rape. And I was like, what? Sounds like you've mistaken toxic masculinity for your identity. And the second I said that, I became an old black lady. Then a bunch of children from Covington Catholic High School went on a trip to D.C. to march against reproductive rights. And they thought, while we're doing some sexy, why don't we also do some racist? So, woo like a mug, though. When some indigenous people who were having a separate march approached them, the kids mocked them. And I was all like, what? Didn't you see the Gillette commercial? This is what Boys Will Be Boys does to people. Now, these parents need to sit down and explain to their children that this is wrong. Or, and this is an official pitch, NBC makes a scared straight reboot, but for racist children. Now, you send your little racist children to me. What am I gonna do to them? None of your business. But when you get them back, they will not be racist. Then. Then Karen Pence took a job teaching art at a Christian school that doesn't allow LGBT students or teachers. And I heard that, it was like, what? Did you expect she's married to this guy? Then I had an idea, and this is an official pitch. NBC makes a show called Scared of People Who Aren't Straight, where kids send their homophobic parents to me. Now, what am I gonna do to them? None of your business. But when you get them back, they will not be homophobic. She did a gymnastics routine that had everybody like, what? Woo! It was beautiful. Her floor exercise had all the hits. Proud Mary, September, Rhythm Nation. And then she did something I will never forget. I saw another human being do this. Probably close. I saw that, picked up Jimmy Buffett's microphone, and dropped it again. This bit ever says what?
Amber Rubin, everybody! Our country is in the midst of a humanitarian crisis as the president and his administration continue to defend immigration policies that harm people who are seeking asylum in the U.S. Here to comment is one of our writers, Dina Gusovsky.
Before I talk about immigration, I want to show you a picture of a refugee. I know what you're thinking. That's really sad. Who gave that little boy that haircut? Even sadder, that's me. I immigrated to the United States in 1991, and my mom gave me that haircut because she thought it would help me fit in here in the early 90s. And honestly, she wasn't wrong. Things were pretty messed up in Russia back then. For starters, even though it was 1991, everything was still in black and white. Also, it was dangerous. We're Jewish, and Jews were being thrown in jail for no reason, they couldn't get jobs, and officials were constantly asking to see our papers. Russian Jews got asked to show their papers more than American Jews get asked which summer camp they went to. Now, there's a lot of talk lately about what immigrants are like. People say we're trying to sneak in and steal things from America. But the only thing I've ever stolen is a refill of soda at Burger King.
Dina, those refills are free.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, this is a great country. Now, some people say we shouldn't let refugees in because we have no idea who they really are. But the truth is, refugees who are granted asylum in the U.S. are vetted for up to 4 years and screened by at least 5 different government agencies. By the time I was 5, I was more thoroughly vetted than most of Trump's cabinet and taller than at least one of them. But perhaps the most egregious lie that people will tell you about refugees is that letting them enter our country is a liberal idea. Well, you know which flaming liberal let me in? This guy. Ronald Reagan said, more than any other country, our strength comes from our own immigrant heritage and our capacity to welcome those from other lands. And he's right. Refugees have given so much to America. They've given us technology and music and leadership. They don't make America more dangerous, they make it more safe. Without Gloria Estefan, we wouldn't have known when the rhythm was gonna get us. Politicians talk about immigrants like we're a political concept, but we're people, regular, hardworking people who are trying to make life better for ourselves and our families. We're just like you, but with much worse haircuts. Seth?
Give it up for Dina, everybody! Now, we've talked about the news already, so here to address something more personal, please welcome one of my writers, Jenny Hagel, everybody. Hello. How's it going, Jenny?
Hi, Seth.
So, what is it that you want to talk about?
Well, this weekend, I took my 4-year-old son to the zoo, and while we were there, I saw something that really upset me.
And what was that?
While I was in line to buy tickets, I saw two straight women pretend to be gay so they could get a family discount.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm gay, and it was very clear that they were lying. And when the ticket agent didn't believe them, they started yelling loudly about how the zoo is not gay-friendly.
And did it work? Did they get the discount?
They did not. They had to pay $8 more, and they were pissed. So, if it's okay with you, I just wanted to take a moment to deliver a message to the two women I saw at the zoo.
Okay.
Don't pretend to be a lesbian to save $8. I thought this went without saying, but apparently it doesn't. Apparently it requires an announcement and a special graphic. So, don't pretend to be a lesbian to save $8. I don't think this is something that's happening a lot, but just in case it is, I thought I should say it. So, being gay is a real thing. And while it's a wonderful experience for many people, it also brings some real hardship. Like, when I came out, I had to leave the church I grew up in because I wasn't welcome there. I don't want to disparage any church, so I'll just say that the name of it rhymes with Mathlick. And it's run by a guy whose name rhymes with the Schmope.
Okay, so a quick little question. How did you know they weren't lesbians?
Great, great question. They were each pushing a double stroller, which means if they were married to each other, they'd have 4 kids. No one can afford to have 4 kids in New York. You'd have to be billionaires. And if there were 2 lesbian billionaires married to each other in America, I would know about it.
Still, that doesn't sound very conclusive.
Okay, all right. How about this? While they were in line, one of them said to the other, I've been called for jury duty 5 times in the last 6 months. And the other one was like, oh my God, really? If you got called for jury duty 5 times in 6 months, your wife would know about it. You wouldn't keep it secret, quietly getting out of it 5 times in a row. And then finally think, I need to tell Brenda about this. But I need to wait until we're at the zoo.
What was your son doing during all this?
He was picking his nose.
Oh, does he pick his nose a lot?
Is the Schmope Mathlick? Look, I get it. Everyone wants to be a lesbian. We're seen as very cool, stylish people with great shoes and haircuts.
I don't know if you're known for your haircuts.
Oh, we're not? Then why did you steal one of them?
Touché.
But if there's one thing we can all take away from the story, it's, and everyone please say it with me, don't pretend to be a lesbian
to save $8.
You got it, thank you.
Give it up for Jenny Hagel, everybody. So the day after Donald Trump's inauguration, I don't know if you've heard this, but hundreds of thousands of protesters are expected to attend the Women's March on Washington in our nation's capital. In fact, 3 of my writers are going to the march, and they're here to talk about it now. Please welcome Amber, Jenny, and Allie.
Hey, Seth!
Hey, Seth!
Thanks for having us.
Okay, so guys, tell me, why are you all going to the Women's March?
Easy. We're marching to speak out against sexual assault and normalizing locker room talk.
Well, yes, but as a gay woman, I have to say, the key message of the march is there will be consequences if the Supreme Court tries to overturn our equal rights.
Uh-huh, yeah, sure. But since black women are the most marginalized, we're really going to protest voting rights suppression and gerrymandering.
Oh, my gosh, totally. But normalizing assault is like the worst, so.
Well, it's up there, but above it is taking away equal rights.
But black women, so yeah.
Okay, so who are all these messages for?
Oh, Trump.
Pence and the Supreme Court.
White dudes?
There are some concerns the protests could get out of hand. What would you do if you were confronted by a police officer?
I'd allow the officer to arrest me for the cause.
I'd allow the officer to arrest me for the cause.
I'd allow the officer to arrest them for the cause.
I see. Now, a march is an all-day event. What are you preparing to bring?
Oh, A thermos of rosé?
Lotion.
My business cards.
Business cards, why?
Seth, we're talking about 100,000 hot and bothered feminists squashed up against each other. I'm gonna clean up.
Yeah, but I'm sorry, you use business cards?
I'm a lesbian, we're all business.
Okay, good. So, what else are you preparing for the march?
Oh, we made matching shirts, like this.
And this.
I made my own.
So in addition to the march, do you have anything else planned for your time in D.C.?
Oh, yeah, we're gonna go to a Washington Capitals game.
We're gonna visit the National Museum of African American History and Culture.
I thought we could all go see La La Land.
I'm not seeing that
Okay,
again.
So it sounds like you all aren't really in agreement about your intentions for the march.
Listen, at the end of the day, we all agree this march is about women from different backgrounds coming together to make sure this administration respects our rights.
Absolutely.
Agreed.
And that vaccines cause autism.
Whoa, wait a second, that's not...
Give it up for Ally, Jenny, and Amber, everybody!
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night Podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together, and we were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a 6-part podcast from CBC. Available now.